Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Hi, Jim Blasingame. This is Gary Moore, author of Faithful Finances 101. Just wanted to say congratulations on 10 years of service on the radio to small business owners everywhere. It's hard to believe that a man of your humility and quiet demeanor could have that long a career in radio. We're very, very proud of you.
Yeah, that's what they call me, Mr. Humble. The quiet one. They say that all the time, don't they, Steve Del Bianco?
Oh, they do, and we are always amazed at how humble you can be.
Yes, that's me, Mr. Humble, exactly. welcome back, folks. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're having a great visit with our good friend Steve Del Bianco with the Association for Competitive Technologies. Steve, tell us a little bit about ACT and give us your website, please.
Jim, the Association for Competitive Technologies is a trade association for small and medium-sized IT businesses. That's consulting firms, training firms, systems integrators, and software developers. We're at www.actonline.org, and we've also got a coalition that's active in these United Nations Internet Governance work, which we call NetChoice, and anybody, any caller, can join NetChoice for free to stay informed and tuned into these issues, and it's www.netchoice.org.
And you're the executive director of that one, of that organization, aren't
you? Right. That's right.
Yeah. Folks, I encourage you to check that out. These are things that you and I have to get involved in. We need to support Steve and his organization because they are protecting the work that they do, the trips that Steve makes, and the testimony that he makes in many of these instances. He and Jonathan Zook, the president of ACT, the things that they do in these organizations are defending the ability for you and me to have to keep what we have right now, especially in terms of the Internet. And you know, I gave the false impression a minute ago, without meaning to, that there was some kind of a resolution on who would actually control ICANN. But you're saying that's a moving target. That's always that you guys are always having to fight.
That's right, Jim. And the Russians snuck it in at the last minute on Thursday in Rio, asking the United Nations Secretary General to come up with a brand new working group that would transition away from ICANN and towards a multi-governmental group. So this battle, you know, game on, and for the next year.
So it's heating up. It's not easing up. It's heating up.
Exactly. Hey, but there was something else we covered there last week in Brazil that I think your listeners might be interested in.
Hold on. Before you go there, I want to make sure people understand what you just said, folks. The ICANN manages the domain names, right, Steve?
That's right.
They manage the smallbusinessadvocate.com, yoursmallbusiness.com, et cetera, et cetera. They manage those names. They're the traffic cops. They're the keeper of those gates to make sure that when you want to go somewhere around the world, you can go right through and you can get there, and that there's an orderly assignment of names, and that if you own something, you get to keep it. It belongs to you. It's your property. If you secure a URL like mine or your web address, we get to keep that. And that's been working like a charm now for all these years. I don't think we want Russia and Iran making decisions about that. Now, that's what's at stake here. Steve, I just feel it's important that we land on that and give it the gravity that it deserves.
It's true, Jim. And one of the ways where their control could make a difference is things like cybercrime. Think about it. The Russian Business Network is the organized crime group that's responsible for a good deal of the phishing and spam that we receive, plus the denial of service attack that brought down the government of Estonia.
Look at all the spam I get that's in Russia. It's in the Russian language. I don't even know. Why am I getting it? Do they not know I can't speak Russian?
Yeah. And spam is probably the least of our worries. I mean, when it comes to spyware, bots, and zombies that were responsible for nearly bringing down the government of Estonia in May, that a great deal of that traffic was stimulated and controlled out of Russia.
So, folks, this is what's at stake. And this is why I want, and this is why I'm so proud of Steve and his group and Jonathan and the folks at ACT and the folks at NetChoice. Why I'm so proud of them for the work that they do. And I know there are a number of other people, Steve, who are working shoulder to shoulder with you on these issues, aren't there?
That's right. And in this past week, we had Google and AT&T and Microsoft, Yahoo. All these companies are active there at IGF.
Yeah. Okay, so folks, now that you got, you understand the challenge that we got here, the danger that we could have. Now, Steve, go ahead with your next topic.
So while we were there in Brazil, Jim, another issue that the private sector is under attack on is the issue of censorship and free expression. And just to sort of make that clear to you, a lot of groups like Reporters Without Borders or Amnesty International are understandably upset when, say, China throws a reporter in jail for speaking his mind on the Internet, or when a regime starts to, like Turkey, starts to censor access to YouTube.
Now, these are the same people who want to get in control of ICANN, aren't they?
I know. Too scary to think about it. But these regimes will often, if Turkey, for instance, finds offense in a video that was up on YouTube because it poked fun at a particular candidate in a Turkish election.
Mm-hmm.
So the Turkish government, because they control access to the Internet and their borders, was able to simply shut off all access to YouTube because they want one video taken down. So Google, who owns YouTube, had the fortitude to push back on Turkish government, saying, oh, wait a minute, this is not offensive content. It doesn't violate the norms of international decency. We're not going to take that down. And Turkey has an easy answer. Okay, don't take it down. We're just going to take you down. So 3 days later, Google, did the smart thing. They compromised. They took down the one offending video, and suddenly YouTube was accessible once again inside of Turkey.
Right.
But anytime a corporation, like in this case Google, makes this compromise, the freedom of expression folks just beat up on the private sector as if we're causing the problem.
Let's not be naive, folks. Free speech in America is not the same thing as free speech or whatever kind of speech they have in other parts of the world. And this is something we, as global citizens and global marketers, we have to realize this as we think about reaching around the world on the Internet. It's 10 Till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find our show and the archives of our show, the articles, the Brain Trust is there, the newsletter is there. You can subscribe to it. You can check out our blog, which we update every weekday. So check out all the good things there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's a 10-plus-year-old website. And our newer one, the knowledge base, askjim.biz. We've anticipated your questions. We have answers waiting on you. So go to askjim.biz and get your small business answers now. Steve Del Bianco is our guest. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and vice president of the Association for Competitive Technology. That's actonline.org. I encourage you to check them out and support the work that they do. They do good work, as you've been able to tell by the comments that Steve has been making. Steve, the issue is free speech now. And you're fighting that because a lot of nations, you know, Steve, we're naive here in the United States. We think everybody either does think like we do, or we should think, or they should think like we do. And you got there's a lot of repressive regimes out there who want to be part of the marketplace, the global marketplace, but they haven't quite got all the structures right, have they?
No, and it sometimes arises out of a paranoia or fear that people speaking their mind might well undermine a regime.
Sound like China, be dangerous.
They're afraid of criticism. The Chinese government declared earlier this year that no reporter in China was going to be allowed to talk about the anniversary of Tiananmen Square.
Hmm.
And that government order went out to all reporters in China, and one of those reporters, Shi Tao, hit the forward button in his email from China, hit the forward button on his Yahoo email account and sent it to somebody in New York who worked with Reporters Without Borders. That little forwarding of an email was picked up by the Chinese filters, and they said that this reporter had violated a Chinese law. They violated the state secrets law. They sent an official over to Yahoo who demanded that Yahoo turn over the identity of the guy whose email address it came from.
Hmm.
And this is the dilemma that American companies get put in, because Yahoo's got Chinese employees working for Yahoo who are suddenly confronted with a lawful government subpoena, a government order, and what do they do when that happens? And I think that
sunlight is not the friend of repressive regimes, is it?
It's not. It's not. And we don't want to contribute to repressive regimes from the private sector. So we needed a playbook, and that's what I started working on in Brazil.
By the way, what happened to that? What happened to that? Did Yahoo give them the name?
In that case, they pushed back for a while, but the Yahoo management determined that if they were to push back and resist any longer, their own employees would go to jail for resisting a government subpoena. Same thing we would do here in this country.
Did they turn the guy over?
They turned over the identity, and it later turned out the Chinese government has thrown him in jail. He's going to spend 10 years in jail unless
we
build pressure on the Chinese regime.
Wow.
No, and what we're trying to do is a set of principles where companies can push back with legitimate means when another regime presents a subpoena.
You're trying to get a standard established that for all countries to use so we know how to behave?
Well, you know what? It's not for the country to use because we can't control the government.
Yeah.
But what we can do is give a playbook that a company, for instance, YouTube, for instance, was a small company, didn't have any lawyers before they were acquired.
Right.
And if you're a small company, a startup, that's doing some fascinating new service on the Internet, you need a playbook to follow so that if some government official shows up riding a bicycle with a piece of paper and says they want access to your records, you say, wait a minute. I need an official government. I need to know what law has been violated,
mm-hmm.
and push back a bit, saying that we don't recognize this as an offense of that law.
Now, is this document available to me and
almost,
to my audience?
Almost, Jim. It's in process, and one of the things I've tried to add to it is a small business friendly section.
Thank you.
Best practices so that a small business doesn't have to hire an army of attorneys to prepare the policies and procedures for the employees and their affiliates and their vendors.
Well, see, even if small business owners are thinking, well, I won't have any employees in these other countries, you're going to have business partners over there. Customers over there. You do have customers over there. Small businesses are importing and exporting a lot.
And business partners, vendors that are serving you, and even some businesses that don't have any vendors or partners in a repressive regime still have customers there. And when those customers use your website and they post content that offends the regime, the regime has one other ultimate sort of leverage over you.
Yeah.
They can't put your employees in jail because, well, none of your employees are in the country.
They cut off your business, though.
Exactly right. And if they cut you off for more than a few days...
Quickly, Steve, I got to wrap it up. Are you trying to get other countries to accept your playbook? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yes, we're trying to get
Some kind of a standard.
That's right.
Okay. Hey, Steve, thank you for being here. Give us that website again quickly.
Hey, you know what? I'll send everybody to blog.netchoice.org. That's where I've got a blog about this.
And that's where they'll be able to find this in the future. Thank you, Steve. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.